Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us this evening. This is the fourth town hall meeting of council that we have publicized for individuals to come and share their thoughts and concerns about the charter amendments that council, members of council, had created to be put on the ballot in a few weeks. I see a lot of familiar faces, and I thank you for coming back, and I see some new ones, so I appreciate that you came as well. I was just telling my husband on the way over, as I was thinking about, I understand that last night there was a meeting about the charter amendments for individuals that may not agree with them or had some other interpretations of them. And I was thinking back to when I was in Cleveland State doing my undergraduate in English, and I had thought I would have never taken some of the classes that I had taken unless I had instruction by professors that were experts in English literature. And so when I look at the charter amendments, and of course we've mentioned at each meeting that there are three ways for charter amendments to be brought to the residents. One is by the mayor appointing a charter review commission. And then that committee reviews the charter and recommendations are made. The other is for residents themselves to come forward if they feel that they would like to have something changed in the charter and addressed. And they would go through a process with the Board of Elections for an initiative petition, and they would go to residents and explain why they feel that there should be a change in the charter and get signatures. And if they get the signatures that are required, but also not only the quantity required, but the fact that they're a registered voter, then that's another form or a way that amendment can come to the public. In this particular instance, with the council creating the charter amendments, which is duly allowed for in our charter, it is us that created them, so we are the experts in them, and so these are the ones that we have identified, whether a charter review commission would identify a need for a change or a resident. So these are some, I find it very interesting that when someone creates something, that I see individuals in the audience shaking their head like, no. Well, we did. Now, that doesn't mean you agree or disagree, but we as a council can create them. So since we created them, just like a professor would provide the interpretation of a scholarly piece of literature, this body is the one that is describing what their meaning is of them. We wrote it. We explain it. You ask the questions, you share your thoughts and opinions, and then ultimately it's up to you personally to determine whether you agree that that's the road you want your city to go down or not. It's the process, one of three processes. So before I started, I did really want Vicki just to take the roll so we have it on the record. So Vicki, you call the roll, please.
Council President Nancy E. Fellows.
Present.
Vice President John Plesnik.
Present.
Councilman Christopher Hullum.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Lenz.
Present.
Councilwoman Janet R. Micah.
Present.
Councilwoman Laura Pismo.
Present.
And Councilman David M. Fiebig.
Present.
Thank you, Vicki. I believe that Councilwoman Micah maybe wanted to share some thoughts this evening. So, Jan, let's start with you.
Thank you. So this is our fourth town hall, and the first three have been pretty packed with people and pretty packed with opinions. And I'd like to ask, that residents would please do a lot of listening before speaking tonight. And the reason I ask this is because that's how I have conducted myself on council for the past 3.5 years. You can go back, you can listen to audio, you can look at the records. You will not see any record of me yelling, calling names, shaking my head, rolling my eyes, being disrespectful. That's just not the way I choose to conduct myself. I don't talk a whole lot during council meetings, because I'm listening. I'm listening to everything that's going on. I'm doing a lot of research outside of this council. In fact, probably 75% of the work comes from outside of this council room. And then 25% is spent maybe giving some of that information back and gaining more. I might speak my mind as a summary of what I've heard and researched. I currently work with middle school students, and in the hallways, they have a lot of posters and little notes, and I'm sure everybody knows what's going on in the news, you know, so we have messages like, don't bully each other, be kind to each other, listen before you speak, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been amazed amazed and dismayed at the amount of just pure dislike bordering on hatred that I've been feeling these past few town halls. And many of you, not all of you by any means, but many of you walk out the same way you came in, and you seem to just want to deliver your opinions, but I feel, and this may just be me, but I feel like there's a lot of listening not happening. I would just implore you to have an open mind, have a listening ear. Maybe you'll still go out with the same opinion, but over and over, I've heard over these past 3.5 years, angry residents demanding that council work together with the mayor. Well, how about residents working together with the council that they have elected? We are a representative democracy, as a resident pointed out last week, which means we were elected by you, most of us were elected by you, in order to represent what's best for you, best for the city, what your wishes are. And we try to do that in good faith. Many of our decisions have been made in good faith, not with malice, not with malfeasance, but in good faith. We're just ordinary people here trying to do our best. And I'd really love it if we could have a productive, friendly town hall meeting tonight. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
So I will open up the next portion of the meeting to you, the residents and the public, to come forward, share your thoughts and opinions. Sometimes we can answer your questions easily, and sometimes it's more difficult, but we're always here for you. And I'm going to run it this evening a little more like I've run...
Thanks, Linda. I'm going to run this meeting a little more like I've run public portion in our council meetings. So I'd like to keep your time to 3 minutes, and I'm going to also ask that of the council table as well this evening. So I'm going to open up. Give me 1 second to get my timer set. So I'm going to open up the public portion at 6:09 p.m., and you're welcome to come forward. Please state your name and your address just so we have it for the record. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Chris Welsh, 38801 Chardon Road. My house supports the yes amendments. My question is this. I saw a sign that says, protect your rights, vote no. What rights is the no vote protecting that I'm not aware of? Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Hi, Jenna.
Hi, Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. So I went last night because I wanted to hear what people's concerns were that aren't yes. Like, I'm yes. And I looked at the charter, and I read the charter, and I read these, and I studied them, and I thought, yeah, I could support these because they're all different, they're all individual. So I wanted to go and hear what was said there, and it raised some questions. One of the things that they talked about quite a bit, it came up a lot, was that, and I would like council's opinion on this. They talked a lot about how the government, how we were set up as a community to have a strong mayor, weak council government, and that that's what our charter was written to do. And what concerns me is that seems to mean the mayor gets what he wants and weak council should go along. And that's disconcerting because I really think that we should have strong mayor, strong council. The mayor needs to be strong in his administration. He needs to be able to manage the city well. We got a lot of employees. He needs to work hard in getting development in here and making sure things are good for that, and that the community, the employees here support people doing development, whether it's building houses or building businesses. But a strong council needs their role, and I looked again at the charter, the role of the mayor is he's supposed to appoint the department heads subject to confirmation of council, is what it says. He can hire everybody else, but budget and salaries and stuff have to be approved by council. He is supposed to put forward the budget and make salary recommendations. But that is to work with council, and council has to work on that. But I don't know why they say it's a weak council, because the council's job is to enact all legislation for the preservation of the safety and welfare of the community, provide for orderly and desirable growth of the community, for efficient, orderly operation of local government. I mean, that says they've got to work with the mayor, and the mayor needs to work with them. The mayor's purview is not only the one dealing with operation of the government. And so I was very disconcerted in regards to that, because I think what we're trying to do, what's trying to be done when I look at these, is make sure we have strong mayor, strong council, and that it's written clearly on who does what and who has approval and who takes care of what business, and that it's consistent through the charter. Because I read it and I was like, oh my God, they're inconsistent. Okay, so that's point one. And point two, there was an awful lot. I really was hoping that people would just be very honest about stuff. And like you said, you all wrote them. You know what was in there. You try to be, you're as honest as you can be. This is what it is, guys. But they kept having these things saying that we were violating the state code. And I want the people listening to realize that we're home rule. And state doesn't rule us, and so the things that are being put forward, I don't think would be allowed on the ballot if they were violating the state law, because it would open us up for legal issues. But they admit it. Oh, well, that's if we weren't home rule, we would be breaking that. And I'm not sure everybody heard that at that meeting, but I would like somebody to comment on that to make sure that these aren't violating state laws, and that we aren't setting ourselves up, because I heard that more than once last night, and it was just disconcerting. And so those are my two comments.
Thank you. Thanks, Jenna.
I think
you cut her off, Doris.
She was first, I think.
Doris Dodge, 37881 Milan Drive. I'd like to comment on ballot issue 9, and this is about restoring our charter standards for city officials. And this would be to restore our charter from what it used to be for ethics. We want to restore this, and we don't want to have misinterpretation of this particular amendment. I will be voting yes on all of these amendments.
I did see this one letter, and this is another reason that we have to clean up the language on these charters, is because people have interpreted them in some pretty bizarre ways. That's why we have the mayor suing the city, because he has really put some strange spins on our charter. We've got a letter here from a guy that writes, "Dear Bob, he would like to have the charter portion waived so that he could serve on the Civil Service Commission. So I wanted to know, can part of the charter be waived? To me, this is an ethical problem." And the letter was written by a Mr. Thomas Majeski, whose wife was serving as our city's secretary to the mayor, the administrative assistant. So this is another part of this nepotism issue that we really need to get at. So therefore, I will be voting yes to restore ethics. We should not have to legislate ethics, but clearly we have a problem here, and obviously we do have to legislate it. So I will be voting yes.
Thank you, Doris.
Wendy Bush, 30741 Meadowbrook Drive. First of all, I was at the meeting last night, and I didn't hear weak counsel. I did hear strong president or mayor, but also the council has just separate activities, separate responsibilities, not weak, but they do have to work together somehow. However, I think changing a charter of any city is important, and it's a serious, it needs to be taken seriously, and it needs to be taken with a lot of consideration and a lot of input from the citizens. And I don't think that that was done in this instance. I think it was put together rather quickly in August, when most of the time that's recess for the council, and one council person they knew would not be there, and that didn't seem quite right for something of this magnitude. So as far as whoever said somebody losing their, I forgot what the wording was, something anyway, I think the citizens should have had more input, and I don't think this is an emergency. I don't think it has to be done now. These things could be thought out more carefully with more citizen input. I think that would be very useful. So I am definitely voting no, and I would recommend everyone to vote no.
Thank you, Wendy.
Connie Klein, 38531 Dodds Landing. I just want to make council aware that some entire states, some congressional districts, and some municipalities have gone to voting only by absentee ballot for special elections. And this might occur statewide in the case of a special election for a U.S. senator or a governor, district-wide for a member of Congress, on down to the municipal special election level. I spoke with Ross McDonald today, who's the director of the Lake County Board of Elections. While he was unaware of absentee ballot-only special elections being held in Ohio, he said that the board wholeheartedly supports such elections, which are a win-win situation for everyone involved. Absentee ballot-only special elections are easier for both the voter and the Board of Elections and much less expensive. I think that would have been a valuable charter amendment. The dissension, discord, and divisiveness in this city seem to have started over a year ago with the attempted vote of no confidence in Mayor Uyghur's stunt proposed by some members of council. When Law Director Loby informed council that a vote of no confidence has no legal basis and does not exist in the United States, some members of council started targeting Mr. Loby. The targeting of Law Director Loby continued when he rendered a legal opinion regarding hiring outside counsel in a matter related to the Grange. Due to the actions of certain members of counsel, Willoughby Hills remains without a law director to this day. And rather than calm the situation, these destructive council members have ramped up their attacks in baseless insinuations and unsubstantiated allegations. I'm not going to reiterate the entire sordid history of council's actions over the past 15 months, but they need to stop. And I am requesting any and all emails and correspondence that preceded and followed the August committee meeting at which the charter amendments were proposed and the emergency council meeting in August at which they were passed.
Thank you, County. Please send an email to the clerk with your requests. Dale?
Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. I thought I'd bring the discussion back to the amendments. So, yes, it is how I'm voting, absolutely. They will be good for the community, good for the future, good for now and into the future. I'm a longtime resident here and a student of local governments. And let's give it a little history lesson. Said a couple times before, the city became a city, I believe, in 1970. 5 decades, we've had, I believe, these kind of controversies in the city every single decade, except maybe the 80s. And the common denominator is the charter. And it is described as a very strong form, mayoral form of government. In fact, to the point where I've never found any other city charter that gives this much power and authority to one person. It's somewhat contrary to American law, contrary to the fact that we won a war 236 years ago, or 335 years ago, against monarchies and tyranny and that type of thing. That's why our U.S. Congress is set up, and U.S. government is set up the way it is, and why our state government is set up the way it is, and why most local governments are set up the way they are, to have a checks and balance and a national checks and balance. So when you see the history here in Willoughby Hills of these kind of controversies with different mayors, different councils, it didn't matter. The common denominator is the charter. Some of these amendments that have been put on have been discussions people have had even in the last Charter Review Commission or even before, or have had privately. I know I've had those discussions privately with members like Dave Fiebig and others over the years about some of these very amendments or the concept behind them. Which brings up, you know, another thing. If Councilman Wager were voting here today when he was a councilman, he'd be all in support of these. I know, because I chaired the commission that he formed right after he became mayor and was the previous council president and recognized the problems with the charter, especially not having confirmation authority by council and not having removal authority by council. He recognized that very vividly when he was council president. So I can guarantee you that Councilman Wager a few years ago would have been voting yes on all of these. Which then brings me to the mayor's letter that recently went out, Councilman Fiebig's letter that went out recently, the town hall handout that I saw. All of them, if they were put up at scrutiny of PolitiFact would have called them pants on fire. If they would have gone to the Washington Post, they would have been given the 5 Pinocchios, without a doubt. And let's talk about the process that everybody seems to be fascinated with. It's in the Ohio Constitution that a majority of council, any council in the state of Ohio, has this authority to put amendments on for good reason, for very good reason. And, quite frankly, the mayor, I don't believe, has the authority to veto it. Previous Law Director Loby was adamant that council had no authority to veto or not pass the recommendations of a Charter Review Commission. The processes that Council President Fellows outlined, the 3 different methods, are all in the same same section. So if one part cannot be vetoed and or usurped by council or whatever, neither can that. Well, it doesn't say that in the Ohio Constitution, that all it says is they're allowed to go onto the ballot by a majority, a supermajority of council. Doesn't give the ability to veto them. So when we talk about misfeasance and malfeasance, that I would constitute, doing a veto constitutes that. When you look at how many people have discussed this, there were 30-some meetings in the last Charter Review Commission. I went to many of those. I can guarantee you can look up the minutes. Way more people have been involved in this process than that whole year or year and a half of that Charter Review Commission, when you might have gotten one or two people or five people maybe at a meeting. So there's been way more public input and public comment in this process than in any Charter Review Commission that I've seen since I've been around. But there are...
Long since passed.
There are, well, I'll be more than happy to stop
tracking anymore,
at this
though.
Point, and I'll defer the rest of my comments till later. But thank you very much for your indulgence.
Mr. Miller, were you living here when the last Charter Review Commission was in progress? Thank you. Anyone else this evening?
If I would have stood up to that microphone, I would have got 3 minutes and been cut off or down.
This is your first warning. Councilwoman Micah asked for a respectful, informative meeting this night. Tony?
He's right. That if I'm up there.
My name is Vicki Miller, 2857 Hayes Drive. I agree with Mr. Miller that it was disrespectful to allow Council President's husband to go above and beyond the 3 minutes. That is not, you know, we were all given the instructions. So I kind of agree with that point. But what I wanted you to know, I wasn't going to speak tonight, but I want everyone to know that last night's event was a class act. You talked about being experts, and somehow that kind of sounded to me like you were saying that meeting had no experts. Well, basically what was there was the panel and the people that were on the Charter Review Commission the last time that studied this charter for about two years. So I don't see where you can come off and say that there was no experts there. There was a lot of good questions asked and a lot of good input given. It was not a sales pitch, necessarily, but it was also just allowing people to understand that there are dissenting opinions, which were not really seemed to be allowed to be given too much credence in these town hall meetings. I have studied and restudied the charter and the charter amendments as I'm looking at it, and each time I go over, I find more things concerning about it. Another thing I want to bring up from last night, though, was also they talked about the strong mayor, and somebody said that they talked about weak council. No, they did not talk about weak council. I did not hear that as well. But basically, what I feel these amendments are doing are taking away due process from the people, shifting our balance of power, and making the council actually running the city. So I would say that because of the way it was brought forward in a quick manner and not really studied, I've been hearing that a lot of people saying that, oh, yeah, a lot of public input has been given into that, but that was not prior to them going to the ballot initiatives. So I just don't feel that it is a good fit for the city right now without further study and discussion by more people. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki.
Good job.
Tony?
Hi. My name is Tony Miller. I live at 2857 Hayes Drive. I would like to follow up on the end of the last town hall meeting when Ms. Pismo eloquently read from Section 8 regarding procedures for petitions and decided that she would stop, which is pretty much her MO. She'll read or discuss or give information just enough to prove her point and stop without following up. So I'm going to go in, and I really want to thank you because you opened the door to 3.2, which Mr. Plechnik there says has no regard for petitions. So now you're in conflict with each other on that issue. But if you go to the very end of 8.32, and I've read this before, I'm going to read it again. And this is where you should have kept reading because then it would have disproved your point. Yes, the charter at the beginning of this section says the number of votes shall be 25% of the electorate. I don't dispute that. The charter says that at the beginning of this, but 8.32 at the very end, same section, doesn't change any area, doesn't change anything else, doesn't go anywhere else, same thought, same, it goes down the same street. All right? I have two bachelor's degree and an associate degree, so I'm not an uneducated person. The sufficiency of the number of signatures on any petition shall be determined as being the required percentage of the number of electors voting in the last general municipal election. Amended 11-4 of 08.
Madam President, do you mind if Mr. Miller, would you mind if Mr. Miller, could we discuss that?
No, Laura, let's wait.
Okay,
let's wait because what will happen is I'm trying to do the public, and then we start with the council table, and then it becomes pandemonium.
Sorry,
as in the last three meetings. So, I appreciate your statement, Tony. Were you done? Okay.
Can I ask something about that particular situation?
You may come to forward and please state your name and address for the record, please. Thank you.
Over. I forgot my address. 2978 Rockefeller Road. Wasn't there some numbers in this amendment about that going from 600 and something to 1,600 that you would have to have 1,600 for a petition? Yeah, but isn't it in there?
No, it's not written in there.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's what it would turn out to be. And we have apartment buildings that you can't even get into to get a petition signed. And we have, what, over 5,000 people in the apartment buildings in Willoughby Hills? So getting 1,600 votes or that percentage that you want is kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Linda.
Dave LaStoria, 31,000 Eddy Road. All I want to know is... I heard that the charter amendments weren't read reviewed by the city law director, and I don't know if we have a city law director anymore. So, how do these even get on the ballot? That's was my question. I want to hear some maybe later on somebody could comment on that because some of the things when I read them, there was one section it looks like the mayor could be removed by four council members. If that's not true, let me know, because I see four council members on all the majority. To me, it would have to be a unanimous decision from the council, even if I did agree with that. But plus the petition thing really worried me, too. I didn't want to see the numbers have to go up for a petition. So I'll be voting no on all of them because I think it was kind of rushed. I don't have a chance to review all these, so I don't really have confidence in the wording of these amendments. So maybe you'll discuss it later on. I'll be around. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
My name's Andrea Taylor Marinko. I've lived here 23 years now. This is the first time I've actually gotten involved in politics in this city. I have seen politics my entire life, from the governor's office to the president's office. This is very different. I want to know how you're going to implement the program if it's voted in, and how you're going to work with a mayor at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Connie, I'd like to see other people come up first if they want to. Because I'd like to have other people have opportunities to come up. She's been up before.
Well, I have a point of clarification. Very short.
Well, thank you for running the meeting for me, Joan.
There's been a lot of contention about Section 8.32 of the current charter. It's been brought up at least twice, maybe three times tonight. It reads, the sufficiency of the number of signatures on any petition shall be determined as being the required percentage of the number of electors voting.
Connie, they cannot hear you. You must speak in the mic.
In the last general municipal election.
Thank you.
This would change from the number of voters who actually voted and exercised their civic duty to just those who are registered. And when you do the math.
You brought this point up once before, as I recall. Another town hall meeting.
I never brought these figures up because
maybe not the figures, but the inference. Excuse me. I will ask the police officer to start removing people if you override my facility to run the meeting.
I have one more sentence. If you just let me say it, then I'll sit down. According to the Lake County Board of Elections, there were 6,690 registered Willoughby Hills voters in the last November 7th, 2017 general election. But only 2,697, approximately a third, actually voted. The proposed charter language would require 1,673 petition signatures instead of 674 signatures per the existing charter. It's the math. It's there.
Thank you, Connie.
Oh, wait a minute.
I get to go first.
No, I can go next. But no, go ahead.
You can go first. I thought it was seconds.
Joan Mazey, 2837 Stark Drive. I'm here to talk to Piesmont, Miss Piesmont. Where did you get your acting lessons?
Joan, we asked at the beginning of the meeting.
Why would you bring your son up here? People ask me why you brought your son up here.
That's enough.
For shame.
No. Why would you bring your son up here? People have asked me, why would you bring your son up here?
Let's talk about charter amendments.
Joan,
that's why we're here.
Well, I'm voting no, and I know a lot of people are. Thank you.
Great. Sit down.
So, Dale Fellows, 2812 Fowler Drive. Having chaired the Charter Review Commission in 2008 and went through the entire charter at that time, in great detail, and the members, I believe, some of them are here today that served with me, will acknowledge that the numbers that you're debating, it's always been 25% of the electorate period. It's never been anything different. It's never been interpreted different. The law director at the time, Tom Loewy, said the same thing. That's why we didn't change it at the time and didn't consider changing it at the time. So back to what I was going to, what I was trying to finish before. What these charter amendments do is it upgrades the nepotism from the bare bones what the state rules are, which you don't even need to put it in the charter because you have to comply with state law anyway. But that, we all know, was done just to make sure that people who weren't complying with that in the city at the time now could comply. That was the only reason it was done. And so it watered it down, made it sound real nice, that, oh, yeah, we'll follow state law. Well, we always had a much higher level, a much higher standard, and that's what this does. So that's one of the charter amendments, is nepotism. Moving from 30 days to 60 days, the ability for the public and council to adequately consider and debate the budget. Now, the budget's not due till the end of March 31st of each year. 30 days doesn't even give you time to have your three readings that you should have. 60 days is more than reasonable. It gives you still the finance director another 30 days after the close of business of the previous year to put a budget together. We've had council members here who's been pushing the budget to be presented to them in the fall of the previous year, and now they're going to vote no on it. Makes no sense to me. So that one's an easy one. The other one's balance authority. And it still has a strong mayoral look to it, these amendments, if they pass, but you still now have a more better approach to a balance of authority in the city. And there's consistency. There are several of them that balance the authority. So the consistency is the next one. And there are some that this way you have the confirmation and the removal process. A prime example would be the safety director that now would be added to the process so that council would have to confirm and or could remove. And a prime example of that is when you have workplace violence that occurs in the workplace here and is not only tolerated, but poo-pooed. Thank you.
Unbelievably rude.
Wait, Linda, wait. Wait, because someone else's timing as well, so I'd like to get mine started as soon as you say the first word.
Go. Linda Fulton. I also was at the meeting last night, and I felt it was a very well-run meeting. Everybody cooperated with each other. If I sound a little funny because I feel like I'm talking funny, I broke a tooth this morning. But anyway, people respected each other. That's not happening here. I don't know the difference, but there's no need to be nasty. As far as Laura Pijmo's son, I thought it was a great thing that he got up on his own. And maybe if people would go to the School of Innovation, they would find out that these kids are learning how to do problem solving, which this is not happening here. You just want to tear apart everybody. The animosity in this room, it's striking. Where were you when the charter review, the last one, where was everybody? Myself, another person, and Frank Sahula basically were there at every meeting. Sometimes Dale Fellow would come, sometimes Dave Fiebig, sometimes Nancy, but for the most part, We were there all the time. Where were you? Now all of a sudden, you're upset because there's some things taken away from the mayor. I feel it's a check and balance. The mayor should not have that kind of authority. I am voting yes on all nine.
Thank you, Linda. About 12 more minutes in the meeting.
Hi, my name is Rich Bozak at the 35210 Dixon. I've looked at the amendments and other cities' amendments, and my question I need you guys to answer at the end is, why did we pick the number four for four council members to make a change instead of listing a majority like other cities do? In case we have more or less council members later, we'd have to go back and change all these charter amendments again to reflect whatever the majority number is. I just wondered why in the process they didn't come up and use the word majority in all of these, if that makes any sense.
I think so.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Any gentleman in the back that had comments before, do you have questions or concerns you'd like to share?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Fritz Marinko. I live at 28802 Eddy Road. My family came to this community in 1954. At which time I was a little tot. I've gone on to college educated. I've worked with the federal government, not for them. I was actually working them with them for the EPA. Many, many things. Been involved in Washington, spent 8 years. At this point, I'm proud to say I'm 70 and I'm retired finally. You people really scare me. You're not working as a team. We have to work as a team. All these people out here want you to work as a team. That's why we voted for you. All my years in Washington and working with these people, I had to work with them, with Republicans, Democrats, Independents, because I was working on regulations. You're not working as a team. Some of you, and I'm not going to get into the finger-pointing here, but you have agendas. And these agendas are not good for the city. Some of you have aspirations. These aspirations are rather large. God bless you. But don't get those in the way of what's being done. Now, you're wrong, I think. Mayor's wrong.
Where is he?
Ma'am, it's my turn to talk, right? Thank you. He's wrong. You're wrong. Got to figure it out. We can't be fighting like this. I don't want to spend money on special elections. If we have to, as a city, we will. But please get it together. Stop this combativeness that I see. I find it embarrassing and not necessarily to be proud to be a member of the city. Thank you.
Anyone else this evening? This is our last town hall meeting.
I'm going to speak a second time, if it's okay. Jenna Bing, 36951 Beach Hills Drive. One of the amendments has to do with the mayor appointing to commissions and council then approving those appointees. And I believe it's a really good idea because my example is a lot of zoning and development and stuff like that is over on the west side in Lohman's Plaza, and the majority of that commission is all in the east side. And so they don't even have to live with what's going on the west side and have a vested interest. And if the mayor put forward people and they were all qualified and everything, I would hope that a council person might say, hey, can you go and find somebody that would be willing to work on it that's on that side? So that's the kind of thing that I think having a check and balance would really help in how people work together. And because then you just aren't relying on whoever the mayor is to make sure and know every, you know, gosh, I really should have somebody across the city on all these things. So I'm for that, and I think it's a good idea. What was raised as an issue last night, and I'm not going to say it right, and I really respect the man that said it because I've come to a lot of the zoning meetings, and he's very intelligent and very caring. And he spoke to the fact that because he was only appointed by the mayor, that he'd never felt any pressure of politics in being on the commission at all. The mayor never stepped in to, like, ask him to do anything. And he was just a little concerned that if it became a mayor and then appointment, a mayor appointment and council having to approve it, that there might be politics injected into the commissions. And that bothers me at a level because when I was going around talking to my neighbors about these and telling them why I'm for them and for all of each of the individual ones, I heard some comments from people. Two things. One, the council's full of bullies. And I don't think that's right. I mean, I don't understand that perception at all. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think that's the case. But when I spoke to a couple of people and asked them if they would be willing, because they were, yes, we're for these, would you be willing to put a sign in your yard? And they were like, oh, good God, no, because that would anger people at the city, and I would not be able to get things done. So that means somewhere in the administration, they feel they are being bullied, and they are not willing to, they don't feel they have the right to say their views and have a sign that supports what they believe in their yard in case they ever have to come to the city and get approval for something. And that bullying needs to stop on all ends. And I think that's a perception. I'm not sure it's happening, but that is a really, really bad sign when our residents are scared to do something like put a sign up saying, yes, I'm for change, because they're scared of the repercussions of the administration. End of comments.
Thanks, Jenna. I know that council has not had an opportunity to speak this evening, and I would encourage you, if you still have questions or concerns, I've written down a lot of notes, as I think some of the other council members have as well, so we can contact you and provide some clarification for you. But we only have about 4 minutes before our council meeting, so I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 6:56, and I thank you all for attending.